Welcome to the Underground Click Podcast. I'm owner, operator, CEO, killer motherfucking Kang. With us as always, we got motherfucking Muse.
Oil.
We also got Ram Jam sitting in with us again.
Hey, what up?
And we also got motherfucking Shrekie Bear in the corner there.
So
he said some things. Shrekie with some words. Man, a few words sometimes, but
most of the time, what are you talking about?
Most of the time, because we get him high as a motherfucking kite.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, we took a little break because last week on the podcast, for once we kind of ran out of stuff that I could actually talk about on the podcast and air out, you know. So everything behind the scenes is still exactly that. So we had us a little field trip and hashtag buy some new crazy equipment for the podcast that we could in stores. And then we went like Amazon fucking cray cray on the rest of it. So coming up here shortly. Couple of weeks here, everything's going to have a nice brand new whistle, nice clean powder, if you will.
A tremendous upgrade.
Tremendous. We're no longer going to have to just rope people into coming to my house and kicking it like normal human beings. We're going to be able to have my people from all over the U.S. that I've been blessed to do stages and concerts with along the way. Big ups to all of you guys. We'll be able to have you guys on and give you guys a platform to tell the world about what you guys do as well. Because, you know, by the grace of all of our listeners, we are still a worldwide podcast. Thank you guys, all you listeners that have been continuing to listen and support through all of the rough times. Because, you know, we had some personal issues with me and the podcast and stuff here. And then on top of that, you know, like I said, we ran out of stuff that I can tell you can contractually on the air. So we had to have a little field trip, little upgrade. We had to do what to do, baby.
We went on an adventure.
That it was.
Oh yeah. That was an entire solid day's worth of bouncing from place to place, finding all kinds of goodies for the new studio setup that we're getting ready to do, the rebuild.
Yep. Knickknacks, podcasts and whatnot.
And I was excited for it. It was fun.
Yeah, it was
done
like,
that in a minute.
No, I don't. I don't think since we started doing the podcast have we ever taken a break from the podcast specifically to go fuck around all day. It was probably like a much needed like mini vacation kind of ordeal for the three of us to like just kind of go out and just fucking be rebuilding the studio and shit like that and gathering our supplies and having a plan of action that we've been talking about for like 2 months now and actually seeing it through.
Right. Yeah. Research and development.
Fuck mother loves.
Exactly. But we preach it. We lived it.
You know, we talked about.
We fucked around with a purpose though on our field trip.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about wanting to do these upgrades and, you know, upgrade the quality of even just the audio content and all that shit just for the listeners and everything. And, you know, we came to realize that the amount of equipment that we would need to make shit, you know, as top quality as humanly possible just doesn't accommodate the space that we're in right now. So that's why we're rebuilding entirely.
Yep.
We ran the numbers and did the sketches and we figured out something better. So we're going to fucking make that happen.
Yep.
And we're at what, like 98% of what we need to be 100% complete at this point.
Pretty much.
Either here or on the way. So, like 2-3 weeks from now, you guys are going to notice a obvious shift in how things are done and what the quality of the content is coming out to you.
Yeah. And a lot more promo down your face again. You're going to get tired of seeing us.
It's going to get painful.
Yeah.
Get some Chloraseptic spray.
But it's only painful at first. You'll get used to it. It's a slow burn. It'll be all right, though. We're gentle like that.
As he's crushing a can.
Nice and gentle. Crushing a can with one hand, too, mind you. Like I was fucking Hellboy.
No, like, I mean, that whole adventure, we got some new soundproofing materials. We fucking got ourselves a new giant fucking table for when we have people in. Make it more of a round table discussion, as it were.
Well, like I said, we upgraded to not have people in. So,
but we have options now.
We do have options. We invited him. We opened the doors for a little bit, and now we're closing the doors like fucking Cartman Land.
Until I start getting more people in.
No, we're not, because we're not buying all of that shit and all of the mics for a whole band to come in. They had their chance. They had their spotlight. I just said the doors are closed. Diddy Mao. Four people enter. The other three that don't leave here at the podcast house leave like Thunderdome. Everybody else that'll be a guest will be calling guests from the comfort of their own home because they didn't want to, you know, come out and brave the elements. I get that. It was COVID. We were trying to do what we could do to give you guys some fresh content and still give you guys some new underground music to listen to along the way that necessarily you might not have thought to come across because, you know, algorithms and whatnot don't really tell you new music, you know, when you really need it. So there's that.
True as shit.
Helpful suggestions. But yeah, once the upgrade happens, lockdown, Pelican Bay. So what's going to be like?
Oh, see, I
everybody else. I feel attacked.
No, we've been doing a lot of, we talked a lot of shit, dropping the research and development, scheme on all you guys. Pretty much every episode we say something about it. And we really have been sitting down doing the homework and, trying to find the best equipment for, what we can afford. And
balling on a budget.
Yeah, balling on the budgets and all that. And, we've been making moves to stack the paper and, start getting the equipment to upgrade this studio to, facilitate our needs and make a more quality product for you guys. And, like we've been wanting to do, be able to have a easier connection to people that can't necessarily drive, 14 hours away to come sit down with us. Like, exactly. We got people from far out that want to be able to come and talk to us, but they just can't do it. It's not always practical.
Yeah,
exactly. So part of the setup is that. Nor would we
ask them unless, when all of this is cleared and they're back to touring and we can do something like that. Like, hey, we're in the neck of the woods. Then we could have done something like that. But unfortunately, circumstances made it the way that it was. But we also wanted to, be kind to, our home base and where we were born and raised on the playground where we kicked a couple kids' asses most of our days. But, So, we gave a nice spotlight. So we wanted to make sure that, nobody could tell us we forgot where we came from. We gave you 25 episodes of people, homegrown talent first before we branched out for you guys. So. Sprinkles, Fiji baby birds. So now we're going to show you how the web starts here and then it slowly trickles. This will be the breadcrumbs, piece of candy, all the way out to wherever we land. But not like landing dartboards randomly on the map of America making moves. It's just, they're touring and they were on the same show as me and asked me to get booked. And this is how we know these people. We got cool.
Well, we talked about before how, even though a lot of places have their own underground scenes, that there's really like a strange web of connectivity between like, underground scenes in like Detroit or in Lansing to here and like in New York in their own way, in North Carolina and Florida and all that other shit. So like there's a lot of people that are, all interconnected with each other that, they might know one or two people in the area or what have you. And, we're just trying to get their, whatever shit that they got going on and their people, known here and vice versa.
Yeah, the beauty of it is with us doing this, too, is kind of to show you, like you said, there's, like, cliques and stuff in each city and stuff. But as well as that, the Reese's Pieces along the way, as I will, that are going to be, the first couple people that would be Zoom called in here that I met along the way are people that are like, I like to call the traveling circus clique. So there's like me, a couple other bands like Fams and the Hooligans and Sky Swamp Orange and stuff like that, where we kind of just fucking go to all the little clique things that we're the ones on the road doing some stuff and then bouncing back and forth and doing a lot of things. and so are the other people in those other cliques in the other cities, don't get me wrong, but seems to be like there's levels to this ish is all I'm trying to say. You know, there's more than just what meets the eye, as you will, you know. It's underground. We're uncovering the underground layers by layers on layers.
And not only that, but, like, you know, every underground scene seems to have its own,
like, it's like a flaky its layer
own
off brand, a crate.
Its own tempo.
Another layer off a fresh crepe. Oh, I love a crepe, Suzanne.
I love a crepe.
What if we say we have really, really thin pancakes?
I think we can agree.
I want a crepe now.
You always want a crepe.
You wanted food. You were talking about food pre-podcast, like you always are. Normally, we get halfway through one of these sessions, and Shrek's like, "I need food," or we're ordering Taco Bell or something on the dashes of door, as Matt Hottie in a broken sense would say. And now he wants food live on the air. Breaking barriers today, Shrek. I was just trying to make crepe references to Ricky Booby, and now he wants crepes.
Now he's hungry. I'm surprised he's not rubbing his belly open.
I can see IHOP in his eyes right now.
Yeah,
I see
he's thinking about a whole stack of pancakes.
No, just crepes. I have not had a crepe forever.
I need the crepes.
Well, that's the only place I knew that sells it locally other than that crepe place, and the name is escaping me to shout them out on the podcast. Sorry, place that specializes in crepes that I know are also delicious. Apologize.
It was a partial shout-out. It was a partial shout-out.
It was a partial shout-out.
See, anybody in the area that's listening in,
I know it exists because I'm large, okay?
Message us on social media and sort us out so that we can shout it out properly the next time, please, and thank you.
Exactly.
We do see and respond to those.
Yeah. You're not John Cena. We do see you because we are large and like food. Especially at the podcast.
Well, Shrek's not going to talk no more. He's going to be thinking about food the rest of the podcast.
I know. He's thinking about all the crepes.
He is. They're looking at
the whipped creams.
He's sitting there with chocolate crepes, strawberry crepes.
Creepy dreams make me feel fine.
He's like, what? He said they have a Nutella crepe. I got to leave, guys.
He's going to climb out the fucking window. He's not even going to go out the front door.
He's stuck like Winnie the Pooh. He will straight get stuck like Winnie the Pooh trying to climb out that
it's
window.
Okay. We'll like fit. The piglet on the left side shoving him out.
That'd fit.
Without butter or Crisco.
I think you need to prove it. I think you need to prove that you would fit.
After. Let's see. Move that
no, there's too much wire and there's too much podcastery right here, by the way.
This sounds like everything would have to be moved.
But yeah, we had an adventure fucking cruising around town.
In our 6-foot.
Yeah, and
back in the Menards.
Yeah, it was fucking hit the hardware store, pick up supplies
for hardware flows.
You know, because as some of y'all may know, me and Shrekie Bear are professional construction shitheads.
So, engineers.
We build.
I'm the idea guy. I'm like, I don't know how we build this, but you guys do.
Yep. So we sat down, made a plan,
skeleton
and
ever.
Started fucking getting our supplies for building some shit up, soundproofing, and. You know, keeping things on the up and up for the studio, and then we hit up some of our local flea markets.
Oh yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, the first one we went to was in the process of shutting down
and moving over. So you know, we're literally buying stuff before people were like, "Man, I'm so tired, I don't want to put this on the truck. We'll buy it $10."
Yep,
$10. Let me get that.
I mean, that kind of devolved into like us like just thinking like, "Fuck it, we're just gonna hit up like every fucking flea market we know of." And just like find whatever deals. We fucking walked out of there with like arms full of movies and fucking collectible action figures, guitar amps.
Yes.
It was good times. Good times.
Very rare out of print DVDs. I was very happy to score Candyman for my collection that wasn't an arm and a leg.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice.
That's not an easy one to find around here.
No. Now try finding anyone but Candyman 1. That's a fucking nightmare, too.
What?
The sequels to Candyman. Oh, I forgot you're young.
I know about Candyman. I didn't know there were sequels.
Yes.
Weren't there bees or something?
They're in my eyes! The bees are in my eyes! Wrong movie. Shout out Nicolas Cage. Fucking national treasure show. We salute you.
Well deserved as well.
It was actually, you know, I think the stars kind of aligned on that shit, because I think the timing was like perfect for us being able to hit that first one before they closed down, because we scored a fuck of a deal on like a gigantic table. For
my ear made out house and AEW action figure arena that I'm building right now.
It absolutely is.
It absolutely is in its fucking glory.
I haven't been here since last weekend, and I fucking walked in and I'm like, where the fuck is the table? And I'm coming walking through, and then I see it off to the one side with,
you see a fraction of the table, like a quarter of the table is not exposed by
this giant table that you could put like eight people around is just fucking covered.
It's an entire arena backstage included. Wraparound backdrop.
It was like, oh, we did all that hunting to have an arena.
Yeah, that's what I said. I literally said this every time. They're like, yeah, we're buying this big table for the podcast. I'm like, we need the big table to move the arena that's in the new podcast room to my old recording studio. We don't need this giant table for the podcast. We just need a table for the podcast. This is the measurements of my arena. Nobody listened to me the entire trip. And then what did I do? I came home, bought a table off the Amazon, tried to put it together as not an engineer, got to the last part, put the tabletop on it, popped the grommets off that motherfucker. Useless! I wanted a Kevin Owens cannonball through this thing as it was propped up on the two chairs sitting here to make like a bench of sorts for me to go through it like a ghetto table bump in a backyard indie spot, if you will. It was going to be glorious, but I stopped myself. I didn't have enough creek water in me yet to do it. But then I drank enough, and then I put it back together with the pot grommets and all. And I still want a scissor kick you like Booker T. Right?
Yeah, so.
That'd be a big-ass light coming down on a scissor.
That is insane.
It is. Swinging that fucking tree trunk around.
That cankle coming down
with
force.
It is a glorious KO when I've connected with a scissor kick to someone in whatever the scraps or backyard wrestling that I once got to do back in the day. Don't try it at home, kids, unless you're fucking trained. You'll bust some cankles. That's what I did.
That was your finisher, right? The cankle buster?
So how's Liquid Death?
You know, for being sparkling water that cost me $2 for a can, it's actually not bad.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's not like, it doesn't have like that aggressive like TV static flavor to it.
So it's not an aggressive tonic water is what you're saying?
No.
It's more palatable on the taste buds and the tongue?
Yeah, because like I originally seen like the ads for it on Facebook like a year or two ago. And that was it. And then it just randomly popped up at 7-Eleven. Well, you know what? I'm going to fucking try this. I mean, it's $2 for a can of water, which is, I mean, when you think about
it's
water,
1 penny more than a bottle of Dasani at $1.99. So,
yeah. So
I pay a penny for the bubbles.
I mean, it's,
and it says Liquid Death and the can looks way cooler than
yeah,
the Dasani
bottle. Yeah, the can is way cool. But, I mean, this shit's actually really good. I mean, I bought it a few times now, so apparently it's worth it. Because you know me, like,
we're plugging this product like we're paid for it, but we're actually just saying things that we use in our real life, because if you see us actually promoting something, we actually use it in our day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Unlike most people. We're classy like that, guys. Classy.
Yeah, we'll only sell you things that we like.
Yes.
But, I mean, for real, anybody that's been curious about, you know, the stuff, ever seeing it, or, like, the ads for it, like, I like it. I don't mind paying the $2 for it. It's not like I drink it every day, but... You know, sometimes I get spry and see they got Liquid Death on the shelf. I'm giving one of them. I mean, you're getting hydrated. It doesn't just taste like bland ass water that went through a filter like too many times and is mixed with whatever fucking cleansing chemicals you get.
Minerals for flavor. No, I want water flavored water. Can I get water flavored water, please? Can we bring that back?
Yeah, but I mean,
that's not the tap water disguised as water.
Liquid Death, sparkling water, murder your thirst. And I mean, it's murdering my thirst.
It right sounds now. Like Billy Mays is on the podcast with this. You want to pull out a sham on that and let us know how it works?
No, see, that's
all. Order this by the cancer call 1-800
Liquid Death. Murder your thirst.
Now.
But no, like, since you asked, it is pretty good if you ever see it floating around. Like, I recommend at least getting one.
Yeah.
You know?
Try it out. Take it for a test run. But you that's had a salsa water or a White Claw. You owe it to yourself to try some liquid death.
I mean, I'm like the almost perfect like salesman for beverages because like up until like I started telling everybody about those Rip It Cypex orange creamsicle flavored ordeals, I don't know why the fuck you're handing me that.
You need dumped.
But like I was drinking those for like at least a couple of years and nobody would grab those off the shelves, which was beautiful because I always had stock of them.
Yep.
And then like people I worked with or like would hang out with would always be like, man, you're always drinking those fucking things.
As I'm drinking one.
Yeah, now. As you're drinking one right now. And then I just tell them, like, look, dude, I'll buy you your first can if that's what you want. But I'm telling you, like, as far as energy drinks go, this is my all-time favorite. Like, you cannot beat it for a dollar. And it's fucking delicious. And it's not, you know, Rip It's, you know, not aggressive as far as, like, energy drinks go. Yeah. It's like, you know, I feel like I drank a cup of coffee and a half maybe, you know, when I drink one of them. So it's like, it doesn't kick you in the liver and say, wake the fuck up. But it's like, hey, guy, it's time to go do stuff.
Well, I've been drinking those for years.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then, like, everybody that I started showing those to, they start buying them off the shelves.
I got
and
a bunch of
all my friends are fucking buying them off the shelves. Now I have to fucking, like, into a fucking carryout like Rambo with a fucking chain gun and a fucking combat knife and fight everybody off for them.
They're always around me.
But disclaimer, I'm not going into carryouts with guns and shooting people up for energy drinks.
If you're going to do it, at least get a monster.
I mean, personally, like, I don't mind Monster personally, but I mean, I feel like because I have like a beverage schedule, which might be like kind of a weird concept. But, like, I do have a specific time that I open my first drink in the morning, a specific time that I open my second one for the day. And, you know,
I used to do that when I was
younger. Bro, I've really seen that.
Huh?
You really do that.
I absolutely do that.
I used to do that.
The first one I open, you know, because I usually drink two of those a day, it's I open the first one as I'm leaving the house in the morning. And then the second one of those that I drink for the day will open absolutely at 9 o'clock. And I will finish that by 12. I will take the last sip at, like, 11:58. And then, you know, I'll be good for a little bit. And then by 12:30, I'm opening up my last drink of, you know, the work day.
I used to do that. I used to schedule my breaks around my energy drinks.
Yep.
Take, like, two of them. Be like, all right, I'll drink this one until first break. And then this one after lunch. And I'm good.
You know, and, like, I'm already, like, a high motor person. So, like, Rip It's are, like, perfect for somebody like me. Because if I start drinking Monsters again, like, I overdo Monsters. Yeah, that's my problem. And then the next thing you know, it's like Incredible Hulk and whatever the fuck I'm supposed to be doing for the day. And I'm like a mix between the Hulk and the Flash. And I'm like moving at a million miles per hour, doing like 3 days worth of things in 6 hours.
Feels like I'm working at an incredible rate here. Yeah, I am. And I'm really cheating myself. And then I'm paying to work this efficient as well.
Yeah.
You know, both with my body and actual finances.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I won't say that, like, Monsters are a ripoff because you do get the juice out of those boys. Juice out of them. But, like, when I was drinking just Monsters, I would have four of those a day before lunch, and that is not good for you at all. Like, it's amazing I didn't have a heart attack. But I got, like, 2 weeks' worth of work done in a day.
Oh, yeah, fuck that. I was working on flashbacks, and I was drinking like 3 or 4 of them bitches a day during a 10-hour shift. I was sitting there feeling that jittery feeling, breaking
glass. See, I needed it because the job I was working 12 to 16 hours every day, 6 days a week. So, like, I needed that juice.
Oh, I feel it.
You know, but to have put it all in before lunch was not a great idea.
I mean, we literally had to lift thousands of pounds of glass a day.
Yeah.
That shit fucking gets tiring. Mm-hmm. You need something to boost you
up. And that's
up.
What I was doing. I was making windows and patio doors and fucking all kinds of other, like, window-related shit. And,
I worked at Old Castle Glass. You don't need to explain that, bro.
Yep.
From 8th and all the way to 316th, having to hand lift that shit with no crane. That
when you don't have the motivation to do that shit, it is a tough job when your heart's not in it. But I tell you what, you crack open that monster can like a fucking can of Popeye's spinach, and you fucking let that shit roll around in you for a second.
And you just feel it after about 15 minutes, like, oh, let's go.
Oh, yeah. know, and every once in a while, like, it's hard to find, like, the Rippets in the stores. And not, like, all flavors, but, like, those orange CYPXs, like, those dry up, like, as soon as they hit the shelves anymore. So, like, you know, there's some Rippet flavors that I'm not overly privy to. So, like, I'll get them, but, like, sometimes I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to get some Monsters for the day. Like, it's one day. I'm not going to fucking hurt myself.
And then you sit there.
I'll crack the first one open and take one hard drink of it and just, right. And feel the rage mode fucking start kicking in.
How was that dick at work who was hiding people's Monsters in their vape pens?
Ooh.
Like, you can't smoke on the floor if I can't smoke on the floor.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, dumping a little bit of the Monster in the vape.
That's hardcore. That's hardcore.
That's super hardcore. That's like super Kyle stuff right there.
They'd be sitting there freaking out, running around the floor, not doing their job because they want to know where their shit went. But yeah, I hid your spinach, bitch.
And see, like, the way that I act, like, around you guys doesn't turn off. Like, I'm just as bad at home with my wife. Or, like, at work, I'm the same person no matter where I'm at, who I'm around.
I'm probably worse at work than I'm around you guys.
Right. You're strangers, so I don't give a fuck. You're strangers, like, I don't know you, that's my purse.
But, like, being goofy and, like, just being completely audacious is just, like, it doesn't turn off. But, like, when I get amped up on energy drinks, it amplifies by an incredibly large margin. So those poor bastards are the ones that have to deal with it are the guys that I work with. But we get a lot of work done.
We had a guy who was 5 foot, and I put midget crossing in his station.
Ooh, that's terrible.
PC, bud. PC. We are a PC podcast.
So, about the vape. We had a whiskey. We poured it in the and smoked it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to smoke alcohol. I'm pretty sure that can kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the smartest thing, but...
So is this... Are you telling me all the times that we took the water out of a water pipe and used Smirnoff and could dry hit the bong, it was a bad idea?
No, not necessarily.
We did that a lot.
Because you're not like...
Did that a lot.
Can't say I did that one, bud.
Yeah.
But see, just with like how a vape thing works, like it's literally cooking the fucking... whatever fluid's in there. It's like vaporizing it. You're breathing in vaporized, you know,
alcohol,
whiskey in that sense.
It was
versus like in a bong. You know,
really clears out the lungs, you know?
You're in a bong, your shit's just like kind of filtering places through.
It doesn't get never been the same since.
So you're not
deep
like
in their pockets.
I think if anything, you're really just getting like the flavor of like whatever you put in your burn versus like actually smoking it.
I mean, so
you're
probably safe. I've had some dumb friends we were able to convince to drink the bong water and shit like that.
It's
always a fun time.
I do that.
There's always one person in the
crew.
There's
always at least one.
Especially like when you're in the like teenage, early 20s years and like your buddy gets super baked and you're like, you know, if you drink the bong water, you get way higher. And they look at it like, really?
Exact same thing that we used to say. The exact same thing.
No way, man.
I can say I've never drank bong water.
Don't recommend it.
I've never done it either.
Not like there are plenty of times like, you know, back when I would like smoke and shit like that. Like, you know, you get your pull and you pull too hard and then like all that water fucking shoots up and you get it in your mouth. You might as well have drank it at that point, but it's enough to like, it's basically like if you liquefy resin and just like roll it around in your mouth.
You get the taste.
Oh yeah, you get that flavor.
The flavor.
But speaking of flavor, we're going to cut this off for the first part of the podcast. We're going to come back at you because during this podcast, I got a super secret call for the manager. And
I'll pass.
The video might be done, so I'm gonna get that super sneak peek, and maybe we'll leak some stuff to you, baby birds. Coming back at you after this. Welcome, motherfucker, back. Part motherfucker two for you this time. Saw a sneak peek of the music video. Holy shit! Pass. Wasn't even color corrected yet. Another one, just a rough cut. I knew we shot a movie, but damn, we really shot a fucking movie. It's going to be dope. Can't wait to see the rest of it. Fucking it.
Yeah, it's been a fucking long time coming, too. We've been talking about this fucking music video for a couple months. And now we actually get to see bits and pieces. the close to complete project.
Finally, the Death Star is nearly operational.
And that was like pre-final edit and fucking FX bullshit and everything.
Yep. No color correction, none of that. We literally just saw the fucking transitions of beautifulness in the crazy movie that we shot for a music video.
Darkness.
Craziness.
Yeah, so now you're fucking sitting over here itching like a corner store drug addict trying to talk about this fucking thing.
I know. Not only that, but, you know, got to scratch that finger itch, you know?
The finger itch. I know. We fucked around and in between.
Yeah, I should have checked the brick seat. Don't check the brick seat if you're a collector when you're doing business.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I know. I made the same mistake. I was over here looking up at my shit, too.
Right? Sitting there eBay and shit. I may or may not have made an order from Ringside Collectibles while they were talking about UFC earlier before the podcast. I'm just sitting here ordering accessories. I was just like, ooh, down collar match, click. No.
Yeah, and the amount of time I've been here, I've already accepted an order on a new figure, too, so don't feel too bad.
Secretly buying stuff while in the podcast. Classic.
We earned it. We spent a lot of hard money on the podcast this week.
A lot.
It's like a band or two. No biggie.
Yeah, last night I was sitting there looking at our new microphone and headset kit and everything, and I was just sitting there staring at it, and my wife was sitting on the couch next to me, and she's like, what are you doing? And, you know, I explained it to her, you know, I've been looking at this pack, and I know this is what we need. And, like, I have this problem where, like, I don't normally spend more than, like, $30 on myself before I get to the point of, like, having to justify it. Like, wife or kids need something that's like $500-$600, whatever. You know, if I got the money and they need it, I'll get that shit without thinking twice about it. But if I spend more than $30 on myself, I've got to convince myself of it. So I'm sitting there looking at this fucking thing. Right? And, you know, looking at the grand total on the pack, it was not cheap. No. You know, it was a few hundred extra dollars more than I expected it was going to be. And, you know, she's sitting there and she's like, well, you need it, right? I was like, well, yeah, we kind of do. So she reached over and she fucking poke the purchase button for me. She's like, well, I did the hard part for you. There you go. So thank you, wife. You helped us upgrade. Didn't have to convince myself pros or cons anymore.
Do it.
Yeah, that was pretty much what it was. I was sitting there with the thing, just looking at it. It was the last button that had to be pushed. And I was sitting there running the pros and cons. Like, do I hold out for a little bit more of an expensive pack, or do I, like, try and shop around, find one a little bit cheaper? But, you know, when you go cheaper, you're going to kind of undercut your quality of your, you know, hardware and shit like that.
Yeah. You know, sometimes yes, sometimes no. The microphone game's a tricky, tricky, fickle thing.
Yeah. And I knew those mics were like the absolute ones that we need. The headsets, you know, are perfect right where we need them. The soundboards and mixers, all that shit. So, you know, we got precisely what we needed. Didn't skimp on the price on it and shit. You know, I knew if I, like, messaged you guys, like, yo, dog, is this the one? Is this the one? Because I know I did it a couple of times over the last week before I did the leap on it and shit. Right. And I looked at her. I said, I know if I, you know, talk to Killa and Shreky Bear, they're just going to say go for it. I was like, tell me the pros and cons. And she's like, fuck that. Boop. You purchased it, motherfucker.
Find the pros and cons later on YouTube tutorial.
Well, no, like, I mean, the kit that we're getting, it's like the perfect setup, you know, to have, you know, right now. We got four people in here. Right. We got the perfect amount of equipment. The only thing that doesn't come with is power strips that we need. You know, our mixer board and soundboard's gonna, you know, is perfect for doing our video call in with, you know, everybody across the country that we've been trying to get connected into us and everything. So it's cutting out a lot of the bullshit for us. We did a lot of research and development on what kind of shit we needed to upgrade around this motherfucker, and now everything's coming together. So, out the few hundred bucks, but, I mean, it's going into something that we all clearly enjoy doing and coming together for.
Right now.
Right now. Without the Jerry to blame shit on.
Shit, we do that, man. or whatever the Aerosmith sample is.
I was gonna say I like the cleanup.
Yeah, yeah, I went and got cleaned up because super secret top secret thing. Sometimes, you know, when things are made of you and you have to go get things scanned, your hair can only be a certain length for the mold. And we're just going to cryptically leave it at that for you guys to fill in the blanks of what new power move Kill is going to do. Scratching that itch to the fucking maximum.
I kind of half-assed feel like I know where you're going with this, and I feel like I might need to make curio cabinet space.
Yeah, you will. A lot of it.
At this rate, I'm just going to have to build a whole new one.
Yeah.
Because I'm already packing that motherfucker to the brim. I needed a good excuse to build a new cabinet. So
there you go. You always need a reason. Everybody's got a price. The price is hefty, but you know, it is what it is. Worth it. Worth it.
Are we talking a whole series of collection?
I mean, it is what it is, you know. When your paint design changes as much as mine does, a lot of variations can be made. Different paint every night, you know. Just saying.
And I
got a lot of looks. Got a lot of looks.
Yeah. It's going to be what version 1 through 36.
Right? Right, but we're gonna make sure it's action packed. It's gonna come with a lot of shit. You can kind of already know what it is if you like follow the podcast at all.
Yeah, if you don't
what we do in my spare time, that would coincide with my music as well, and just having something different. So when you go and you're like, "What the fuck?" Like, yeah, that's sitting there. We'll show you. Not just t-shirts. What's that? Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple more things that we haven't even really talked about, you know, on the mic that are still currently in development that once those pop out, people are going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, especially.
Why is this a thing? But I love it.
It's why is it not a thing? And then it would make more sense when the other thing comes out and they'd be like, oh, now the action figure kind of, oh, makes sense.
Yeah, shit, they're bad.
No, we danced around it. We danced around it so fucking much. There was no way you did not know what the fuck we're talking about. Unless you're just, I have no idea what the process of this is.
But it means something. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's for a specific reason that this will come out. It'll make sense later down the road. But I mean,
and plus, I'm an action figure collector. I've always wanted a fucking action figure, you know? I'm just going to keep it real. I've made multiple customs of myself already in my personal time of my pro wrestling gimmick from back in the day when I was Chaos Capone. I just never had a Killer King action figure. Now we're going to step the game up to Killer King.
So yeah, I mean, you pretty much touched every other market. You've been on a fucking playing cards and shit.
Yep. Well, like, you know, if you watch any people that have built an empire of art, there's four main pillars that you need, and it's like your media, your music, television, that stuff, your action figures, and then your actual like movies and stuff, and then they branched into comic books. So that's how they built, you know, originally Image Comics. So kind of taking some pillars from Mr. McFarlane on some stuff. So just picking and choosing baby birds works best than what I've seen.
I mean, if you're going to take anybody to model after, I mean, McFarlane, that's probably definitely the fucking guy, dude.
Yeah.
That dude's been all over shit, everywhere, forever. I think fucking McFarlane probably pre-existed America, like, in America at this point. This is as far as I can remember, you always ran into something McFarlane related.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Between movies, figures, comics, I mean, all that shit.
Right. Shouts out while we're giving you guys praise, you know, McFarlane, if you want to hit us up and make it easier on me so that way I'm not doing it all myself,
we can sit
down.
That's
what I'm doing right now, real talk. I'm just literally partnering with some dude that can scan me and 3D print me for the low lows for me balling on a budget cost. Keep it all the way 100. And at first, I was just going to keep it simple, stupid, and just fucking do 3D prints of my head and then pop and swap on another action figure body and come with some Killer King clothes to make it Killer King. But nope. Nope. He's like full body skin. I'm like, oh shit.
Game changer. This motherfucker is custom.
And I was just like, I gotta get the hockey jerseys made because I gotta get one of the fucking hockey jerseys now. No, I gotta get one of the hoodie. We got so many looks. Which one are we gonna do? We don't know. All I knew was my hair needed to be cut up to just shoulder length. And all the dead ends had to go. Shout out to Sidelines and my hairstylist, because she told me I was a very interesting person for how many people she has to small talk with a day. She was just like, every question I ask you, I am not getting a normal response at all. I was just like, I'm not normal.
No.
You're cutting a guy with long green hair right now. At a place that, just by judging from the wall, looks like specializes in high and tides and fades. So you're not used to a dude with long rocker hair sitting here and getting his hair cut layered and stuff as it was. Shouts out to her, Shannon.
Thank you for your service.
Exactly. Feathered and flowing. You just don't see it nowadays.
It's lethal.
It is lethal now that all the dead ends are cut out. Hashtag don't tell Ram Jam's wife that we cut 2 to 3 inches that she suggested off of my hair when she first met it. A motherfucker.
Can't let her know she was right.
Right. See, we give credit where it's due, underhandedly sometimes and such, but we got to make it content for the podcast, baby, because that's what we do. We take life and feed you baby birds of what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, we've said it before. This is not all we're doing. We got plans.
Jesus.
Imperial growth.
Too many plans. They already had me leak a major one. I was not ready for that one yet. But, yeah, hey, my mouth started going, and it is what it was.
You know, and last night, like, in our group message thing, like, I don't know if you'd seen it, but, like, I had said to him, I was like, you remember, like, 12 years ago when we talked about, like, global domination? I kind of feel like we're doing something with that now. But finally.
It's not an overnight success, and most people think, I'm going to dominate the world, I'm going to conquer it, I'm going to be a self-made billionaire. No, it takes time, takes investments, takes a lot of failures on the way to start getting some kind of traction, success, or any kind of momentum underneath you. So it's all the wait and keep hustling and keep grinding, because, you know, just like that meme shows with that dude, one pickaxe swing away from the diamond as he gives up and walks away. You just got to keep fucking swinging.
Yep. And, you know, that was like the conversation I had with my wife last night when she had poked the button on me and shit. And, you know, I was, you know, asked her, like, give me the pros and cons. And she looked at me and she said, like, you guys have been sitting down for a long time, like, talking about, like, the plan of action and, like, the other shit that you want to do just beyond, you know, what you got going on right now. Does this help you? This absolutely helps us. This is a big step in the right direction for what we've been talking about for, you know, over a decade at this point. And, you know, it's all just kind of finally coming to fruition. And like, yeah, this is a pretty big chess piece in what we need. And it's like, so then what the fuck are you asking me for? Like, I believe in you, bitch. Bam.
It's like, I believe in you, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably, like, one of the biggest things fucking, you know, like, people like us really
need. She did the hustle and flow on it. She grabbed the wheel. We drive this car. Click, purchase, snap.
Yeah. If nothing else in the world, like, my wife is probably, like, my biggest supporter. Even if, like, I'm doing something, like, basic and stupid, like, she, I don't want to call it, like, blind belief, but, like, she knows, like, if I have my mind set to doing something that, like, I'm the biggest person to get in my own way on shit a lot of times.
Well, that's everybody.
Yeah, but she's like that number one supporter that we always talk about, like, you know, with artists and everything like that, and like bands and everything having like their number one fan base and all that other shit that they need to keep pushing forward. I mean, she is that for me, and she just pulled that move on all of us last night. So
she pulled the power move trigger.
Yep.
Thank you, Mew's wifey.
Yeah, because, like, it was just, there was no real reason to not do it. But, like I said, I'm the worst person for getting in my own way. I'm, like, all kinds of shit. Like, moves I know I should make, like, I'll second guess it, like, 10 times before I fucking am like, yeah, I should have just did this fucking 10 times ago.
And I need to thank you, too, because the power move kind of shocked me because, you know, Kill is so used to just, like, scraping everything together by myself. And I'm just like, Somebody bought me something that's very useful. I don't know how to react.
Well, no, like,
I don't want to tear up. I'm already drunk, crying in my drink water, motherfucker. And you go and buy something like this. You got to do something like this.
Yeah, I mean, we sit down a lot, like in our time that we're not on the mic talking about, like, how we're gonna fucking pull things together. And we sit down and we talk, like, you know, how much is this gonna cost us at the end of the day? Like, how are we gonna pull this money together, being, you know, people that have households to maintain? Yeah. And like in my instance, I got, you know, a wife and three kids, and, you know, mortgage and car payments and shit like that. And a lot of the stuff that we want to do is, you know, kind of high dollar shit.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
You know, but it's something that, like, you know, we always talk about, you know, investing in your art.
Yeah.
You know, and investing in your own craft and shit like that. And sometimes it's an emotional or physical investment, and sometimes it's financial.
Yeah.
You know, and this is something that we've been talking about. You know,
every artist will tell you that. It's a lot of financial.
Yeah, there's a lot of financial aspect to, like, growing what you're doing. And I mean, we could have easily sat here and continued to do shit the way that we've been doing it, and, you know, just kind of coasted on that. But we didn't want to just fucking stay where we were at. We wanted to start.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely, we wanted to start. And that's why we started with the gear we got. But, like, you know, we've been plotting and scheming this move for, you know, several months, you know, and me and him talking about shit like this for several years, you know, like getting a different kind of animal growing and started up in, you know, our own area, and, you know, between the two of us and everything. And it's just kind of grown. And, you know, now we got all these people coming together and shit, making things happen and making moves. And, you know, I just so happened to have the money put up, and fucking it was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have easily sat on that money, but I just felt like investing it in our craft and what our plans are was the move.
For sure.
You know, am I short that money out of the bank account? Yeah. But I mean, money's replaceable.
Yeah.
You know, your art is your art. You got to be the first person that's willing to invest in you, because if you can't invest in your own shit, nobody else is going to want
to. Message. Everyone thinks, oh my God, I just got to do a couple songs and get signed by a record deal and do this demo. No. Takes literally decades of you investing your own money and every penny into yourself. You got to prove it to somebody else. Like, ain't nobody going to do it for you. Like, honestly.
Yep.
That's why I was awestruck. I was just like, wait, what? Huh?
Yeah, dude. Like,
no, I've been chipping away and just doing $200 investments every week so I can keep, like, $700 in my bank account for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Because anyone that knows me knows the money in my pocket, whoosh, there's a hole in that motherfucker. Disco Inferno, baby. It's burning.
You know, and I've been like that, too. Deep. But, like, you know.
Burning too deep. Sometimes into debt.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, what the first, like, half of the time that we've known each other, like, I mean, we probably burned through way more cash spending it on dumb shit than we ever did on, you know, making use of it and everything, not thinking, like, how we could use
our finances. That was our party bachelor days when we lived with each other, though.
Yeah, that was...
We had to deal with the Minkus, so we had a creative stifling thing in the triangle and the circle.
Yeah, and I mean...
We had a pump faker. Oh my God, there's girls over at the party. Man, I've been playing drums for like 5 hours. No, you literally sat there for 5 minutes when you saw them pull up like a creeper looking through the window, and then you acted like you've been playing because you're just naturally sweaty and greasy. It is what it is.
But no, like,
Minkus, a.k.a. Johnny Richter. Shouts out to you. You probably don't even go by that name, so.
Goofy bastard. But no, like, I feel like
Greg the Puss Bubble 1 and 2.
In my progressing of age and, like, responsibility and shit, I've started, like, kind of looking at things from a more financial prospect and everything. So I've just been smarter about my money. And, you know, I'm even invested in stocks. Like, if 2 years ago, if I would have fucking, somebody would have told me, like, oh, you're going to be invested in stocks, I'd be like, fuck you, dude. I'm going to be invested in a bag of Cheetos and fucking an energy drink, motherfucker. Right. But no, like, everything just kind of is, like, panning out now that I started kind of, like, thinking more responsibly with my finances and shit and putting shit up. And I mean, you've been doing the same, like, between, like, making sure your money's right with, like, the household and, like, you know, knowing that you got to put certain money up for, like, whatever project you got
going on. The first fact that I'm blessed to I even have a house. I'm not couch surfing like I have for the last 9 fucking years.
Hey, man, you and me both, like, we fucking went through that
literally shoestring fucking
when people say, oh, I live for my art. No, motherfucker, no one struggled like me. And that's why they get the attitude that they get from me when they just want handouts and shit. And why I'm like, dude, I give them the back in my day. I had to grind because I grinded harder than any motherfucker. And they just don't realize it. Nor do they care. They just, what can I do for them lately? And that's why we close the doors to those people.
But see, that's part that statement there in and of itself is kind of like why we do what we do, because like we're attempting to shine that light on the people that did that groundwork, that did that grind. Yeah. And, you know, our 10, 20, 25, 30 year fucking underground musicians and shit and artists, you know that struggle and can sit here and tell you like, hey, this is what I went through. This is the shit I had to eat to get to where I'm at now.
Right, right.
You know, and if nothing else, maybe it'll fucking shine a light to like the newer cats getting into the fucking underground game.
Shout out to all the hot readies that kept me fed. I'm all out of the budget. Hot readies and boxes of fucking oatmeal pies because I was just like, it's oatmeal, it's healthy. Because you're young and dumb.
Pay no attention to the tremendous amount of sugar in each one.
Sugar is creative fuel. Wee hours of the night. This is why you guys think I run on batteries. No, it's just because I literally have so much sugar that my blood is probably pure sugar cane.
Story of my life.
Slowly crystallizing and going through the veins.
Yep. But no, man, it's like, you know, if anything, I would like to think that at the end of the day, anybody that's listening in can, like, hopefully use us as like some kind of shining example that like way back in the day we did not have any of this shit together.
No,
like we could barely operate as individual human beings, let alone like come together for a project on top of like all the other bullshit that we've got going on outside of it.
Yep.
And you know, all the other side projects and hustles and shit that we sit down and talk about, and to like at least know like, hey, this is possible. You know, especially when you're sitting there with your homies and like you guys are coming together and like you're creating your own web network of people. You know, you've got, you know, Micah throwing shit together for you, and you got Savage World, and you got other shit going on that I'm not going to talk about. Yeah. That all came to fruition after like years of work and like trial and error with like different people that were all, you know, trying to do the same thing, and some shit just don't pan out.
And that's funny too, because like the thing with Savage World too, and especially, you know, knowing Mo as long as I have with this underground shit, the world and the universe is so weird, because sometimes you meet people prior in life when you were fucking up and didn't realize it, because yeah. I met him when he was doing a whole other kind of music, when we were living completely different lifestyles counter to what we were inside. So, you know, I was in my super religious phase, and I was going through a lot of Christian concerts and stuff, and that's where I met that motherfucker for the first time.
See, that's like
I don't know if he wants me to leak that, but that's where I met Mo for the first time. He may not remember, but
see, that's like when we had Sickwitted in here, yeah. And like we kept sitting there looking at each other like, I know this motherfucker from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it just so happens, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, like, we were, like, partying together and hanging out with the same group of people, and just, you know, everybody just kind of went their separate ways, and it's like, dude, like, we were rubbing shoulders way back then, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's real funny is you guys talk about this, and I'm like, huh, I'm still 22.
I know, like, you're in that stage of your life where, like, when we were your age, we were fucking around hardcore. Like, we were goons, basically. That
straight, stupid thugs. No.
Yeah, like, we were dumb as fuck.
I guess it's just because of college.
We ran on...
That motherfucker looked at me wrong.
And we ran on rage, alcohol, and macaroni and cheese, dog. That was it.
Yeah. Don't let, like, the toned-down business side of Killer King that you see now, like... That dude still exists.
Yeah.
But I can't do it because of legal reasons. And that, you know, everyone's got a camera. It's no fun anymore. I don't like being this.
I mean,
person.
At this rate, we've kind of earned our modesty. Like we've done a lot enough like ragey shit back in the day when we were your age. Like you would probably, if you would have met us at your age when we were your age, like you probably would have gave us a wide berth to be like, yeah, these motherfuckers are gonna get it.
You would have crossed the street.
Yeah, we were not gentle people in the world.
You're like, if I hang out with them, they look like cool cats, but cool cats are going to get me in a lot of fucking trouble in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, that's what they all say. Probably, yeah, that's how they all say. And so we're all huffing and puffing and black hoodies running from fucking blue and cherries.
I mean,
then it gets real quick, and then I'm fat and I'm thinking like, fuck, no, I'm not eating that jail food. I'm getting away. Nope. I'm tired now, but I'm not going to be tired in jail. I'm going to be tired away, free, and home. This is how this story ends. You'll
find me hidden in a spider hole like fucking Saddam Hussein with a fucking grown-out beard looking raggedy as fuck before I give up.
And I was also lucky to have stupid people like my friends that thought that they were camouflaged because, man, this light kind of looks the same color as my shirt and then sits down in a bush when I keep running. And then all I hear is the cop just like, we know you're in the bush, dumbass. And I'm getting away. I'm like,
yep.
Penalty list.
You shouldn't have hit in there with red letters on your shirt, dickhead.
I've never heard police laugh at somebody trying to get away from them so hard when he literally tried that bright orange dickie under the orange lights in the fucking, in the wireless.
Yeah, you was not getting away.
There was no bush foliage to even cover the rest of you while you was trying.
But no, I mean,
F minus for effort.
I mean, I just
should have kept running.
I just think at the end of the day, like with people seeing like how much shit you've got going on and how many projects you've got coming out, like I'm pretty much ghost. Like any project that I've ever been involved in, like you cannot find record of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just always been like kind of a man behind the scenes, fucking like trying to
like help our new metal band that we had back in the day.
Yeah, the metal band that like six people know about.
No, a lot of people know about
them. Probably now. I don't mean, forget
the umlaut over the C-U-N-T.
But like at the end of the day, like I feel like if people like sit back and look at how. Like
we could release stories. It because one of our hit songs was very offensive, and we kind of touched on it on the first part of the episode. But yeah, it's the reaction, like,
yep. But no, at the end of the day, like, hopefully,
that was for if you're in the know, you know.
If you know, you know.
It's an Easter egg.
If we can fucking like maybe give somebody an example of how it's possible to go from being like fucking street running shitheads to like. You know, people that are
respectable business people that help people.
Something that resembles respectable business people that are in fact out to actually help more than just ourselves, you know, and, you know, be making something of our own shit and investing in ourselves in a way that we should have been doing, you know, 10, 15 years ago and maybe have been able to get our shit
together. I've been doing it. I've just been losing it in multiple moves, fumbles.
But, I mean, that's what we talked about.
Friends backstabbing me, taking important cores to things you can't readily buy by itself. You gotta buy the whole God blessed machine again.
Yeah.
Shit that, you know.
A lot of it's making sure that the team that you got around you is the actual team. And
you see them in the street, you want to give them an Indian burn.
And you have the old rug burn on the arm.
We doing Indian burns. They got bolas, nunchucks.
Right. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, make sure your team's legit and then, like, you know, work with your team.
We were too legit to quit.
Too legit, motherfucker.
Just called us back like a sweet siren of the music industry. They're like, no, you're not done with this, baby bird. Come back.
We never truly faded away. We was just in the shadows doing our work.
Make me all on the mic. And it was wrong. I just can't spit hot fire without you. Can I come back?
But no, like this is like really. This has really been like when you and I sat down originally to talk about even doing this thing. Like we had those like outside ideas of like where we wanted to go, not just from like starting this and keeping this going, but like the other shit that we could. All right, so sorry about that, guys. We kind of got cut off a little bit early. We're back with Underground Click Music Podcast, back with the same old goons and shenanigans as usual.
Right.
Myself, Muse.
We're having too good of an episode.
We're on too much of a good combo flow there.
The host said stop recording when we were in the middle of stuff, but we had a couple minutes left, and you know that. But
we're taking those minutes back, goddammit.
So this is going to further prove that, hey, now that we've upgraded, this is not going to happen because we're just going to be able to one take all the way, and we're going to clip, clip, clip the baby birds for you.
Yeah.
And this won't be a problem.
But yeah, to like keep going on that point, it's like, you know, we were sitting down talking about like, you know, any successful like business or businessman or business group doesn't just rely on one thing, you know, to make their success.
Like no, you look at any revenue
streams. Yeah, multiple different departments of fucking skill sets, talents, functions, all that shit. And, you know, we started it with this. We started with, you know, sitting down with one microphone and a laptop, fucking sitting here recording a fucking podcast every weekend. And I mean, you and I, we did, you know, countless hours of pre-recording just to kind of like get ourselves in the groove of like sitting here, being able to talk to and talk to each other just to kind of iron out the kinks of like conversation, you know, because like sometimes you're sitting across from somebody. And I mean, we even have episodes nowadays where like we'll hit dead silence, you know, just for a quick couple seconds, you know. And then it just kind of feels awkward. Like, well, okay, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Like, it was way worse knowing that, like, at the end of the day, somebody's listening to this fucking thing. But, like, we did a lot of, like, pre-game shit to get the groundwork started on this motherfucker. But, like, that was just for, like, saying, hey, we want to start this podcast, but we don't just want this to be a podcast. We want this to be, like, the hub for the whole network of other shit that we have planned. Like, and wherever it takes us is where we'll follow. But, you know, in that amount of time, you know, Killa over here, he's, you know, gotten himself involved in like some other like high end shit. And, you know, at the end of the day, he's plugged in with people that we can rely on one end of the thing. You know, we're filling in gaps however we can, you know, both with like bringing, you know, new people in to fucking talk to about shit. Trying to make moves on our finances and shit, getting things rolling for our upgrades that, you know, some of the shit we are going to inevitably use for other projects that we're not going to talk about right now. But at the end of the day, like, you know, how we've always said it before is like, you know, investing in your own art, you know, is first and foremost. But then what do you do with that art at the end of the day? You know, do you just ride the art or do you try and make something that resembles a small empire out of it? Like, I don't want to take over the whole world. I just want my own piece of it, you know?
Right. You know, pieces enough to where, you know, we can make cool stuff where it's not that, we, you know, we have to do the job and bang for, you know, donations for the Patreon and stuff. Like, we've literally done this all from not asking you guys for that kind of help and stuff. And the, among the podcast world, I'm kind of prideful about that because, you know, we're still doing our hustles and maintaining everything while giving you guys stuff and, you know, our lapses in episodes has only been for, you know, personal stuff. We had that COVID lockdown that we had to do and stuff, you know, just to be responsible and stuff because we were in contact with the podcast and people that had COVID were also, I had it and living in my own house, so I didn't want to have people in here. So just being responsible about the shit and stuff. So now, while building and upgrading and
That kind did of kind of make us have to sit back and like think about how we operate this whole thing too. With, you know, there's a lot of people that are still kind of sketchy about COVID and like you said earlier, not really wanting to come in, you know, from outside.
Yeah,
you know, from, you know, an hour or two away,
which is understandable.
Yeah, like I totally get it, and that kind of put a little bit of a hiccup in our system and our setup. So we had to like sit back and, you know, rethink and redesign basically. And now with the moves that we're making, we can fucking accommodate all that shit. So everybody can be safe in their own little bubble and we can still, you know, get our original message out there and get, you know, these people their time in the spotlight and shit. And, you know, give the listeners new content, new people to listen to, more things to pay attention to while they're, you know, sitting at home, at work, in the car, what have you.
Exactly. And thank you guys for all the listeners that have stuck with us and stuff and keep listening weekly as well. We appreciate the shit out of you guys because, you know, that's why we do it. This started as a weekly, like, Wayne's World thing for Killa King to update you guys without just throwing a bunch of fucking promo and stuff because you guys know how my promo game used to be on fucking social media, guys. Like, used to be nonstop. That's all you seen was my flyers in your face. So I wanted to give you guys A, more content, and B, something I could do that I could release on a schedule so you know that, hey, when the buck stops at Killikane, the consistency is there. And sometimes when, you know, you have other factors and other things, other technologies that aren't yours that you own, stuff goes awry, you know, systems crash. And Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events for 9 years. And we're remedying the situation. Because I literally, like he said, he invested in the podcast with the stuff with the wifey and stuff. But I've been investing on, like, other stuff for a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, literally, me as Killikane is taking Underground Click and stuff and then building another record fucking company. So we're going to have another record label here doing so much major empire stuff. It's ridiculous. Like I said, we can't tell you everything, but pretty much we're a one-man DMX stop, drop, open up shop. Like, yeah. Literally, like, I can have you come in, record the song, drop the song. I can make the damn beat for you. I can do damn near everything, start to finish now. No more in between. So there's going to be a lot of stuff coming here. Like, after all the stuff comes and I get a new schedule of the podcast and being able to juggle all the other cool art stuff that I can do to them, I'm like, ooh, what do I do? I'm going to have too many new toys in the toy box like a kid on Christmas.
Yeah.
So yeah, then that's going to be the new problem. So then it's just going to be like, I'm sorry, I'm playing with a new toy. And then you're like, Oscar, you're dropping a billion new music videos to old songs, but you haven't made a new song yet.
Because fuck,
I'm busy playing because I have a vision for the new song that I've yet to record. And don't want to do the video until I learn the thing I want to shoot and make it a thing in real life.
I know, like, when we were talking last night about, like, everything that we have coming in equipment and software-wise and everything, like, part of me was, like, kind of sitting there, like, thinking, like, man, we can use a lot of this shit for, like, all kinds of stuff that we want to do. But, you know, we also sat down and talked about how we can use, you know, the podcast platform plus all the other shit that we can do with all the other equipment that's coming in to, like, do things not that are just self-serving, you know.
No, yeah.
You know, to keep the mindset open of, like, how we've talked about, like, way early on and, like, kept it going about, like, not kicking down the guy next to you and shit. And, like, there's no such thing as competition necessarily when it comes, like, to music, really.
You know, I don't have to kick down the guy next to me because I'm too laser focused on what the fuck I'm doing.
Right.
And if I'm kicking someone next to me, I mean, I'm just, you know, screaming, going, get this shit together.
You know it as well as any other person that's been in, you know.
And it's normally me in the mirror to myself.
Yeah. But, like, for a lot of cases, though, like, underground artists do have a tendency to, like, kind of make moves to block the next guy coming up. And it doesn't really serve a purpose. So you're just kind of holding that guy down that could, you know, have his own form of greatness. And it's not going to, you know,
diminish yours. Or you're holding down the one person that could have popped and then put the spotlight on the city to be like, oh, this fucking artist is really dope. And they had all their shit and their branding together that you tried to fucking disassemble their shit by trying to take away their team or their cabal from the inside on some dumb shit, or tell them, hey, don't fuck with them, or hold certain shit back and don't have it released on time, whatever it may be. There's a lot of sneaky levels to this game of what people can do to sabotage your fucking growth. That's a whole other podcast for another day in itself.
Yeah.
But pretty much, you know, if you would not do that and sabotage the next guy and focus on your own shit, A, your shit's going to grow way fucking faster because you're putting your energy where it should be in a positive way instead of a negative way. So now you're attracting bad fucking karma to your dumb ass, but you don't realize that. It is what it is. We live, we learn, we get loves. I had to learn the hard way a lot, too. That's why I'm so hard-headed to this day.
But I mean, like...
But also, that person that could have got bigger and put the spotlight on the city... there's a trickle-down effect that you guys don't realize or think about. Like, when someone's big on the podcast or big in, like, the underground in music, you generally see who they fuck with, even if, like, they don't have a record label. You'll see who they do a bunch of features with, and then you'll branch out the web that way. But, you know. Nobody wants to listen to King Mijo until they stab me too many times in the back, and then I get like this. We build an empire, and then we close the doors.
Yeah, exactly.
It's shutting, like, down the studio. Boom.
It's like making the band. if you hang out with five millionaires,
okay, I'll open up the studio. If you give me six rare AEW Chase figures,
you will be the sixth. You know, and it's all about you know, not keeping that guy next to you down, because that guy might be the guy that you needed on your team, like, you know, 6 months down the road or a year down the road. And like, we kind of like me myself, I don't like to see things so divided when it comes to like the underground music community, because, you know, then there's too much strife. Shows don't go well, or like some shows won't go together because there's like divides and like, oh, these guys are cool with each other. The fan don't feel comfortable
anymore because they're like, hey, I support this band, but then I have the other band in my ear going, that band's whack, why do you support them? And then they got to deal with that as a fan when they're there to have a good fucking time.
Right.
They don't give a shit about the behind the scenes shit.
Yeah,
you're supposed to keep that exactly where it is, behind the scenes.
Behind the great curtain of Oz, that's where that shit needs to be.
Because if it's really that serious, like Jelly Roll just said, that's not real beef.
It's all bullshit. Yeah, and I mean, it would be nice to see the underground music community, especially after having gone through this fucking, like, complete shutdown because of the pandemic and everything. And, like, it kind of seemed like before that, the community mindset and it was kind of deteriorating anyways. So it would be nice to see that come back. Not the deterioration, but like people coming back together and being like, finally, we can fucking, you know, start doing shows again. We can start doing, you know, recording sessions and shit more freely and all that other nonsense. And like walk into it with a fresh, open mind and like leave all the bullshit behind and be like, look, we can all work together and all have a good time, or we can all get in each other's way and just let this shit fall apart like it was before.
And then it just becomes a thing of negativity where a bunch of fucking creative people are pretty much suppressing and oppressing themselves without knowing it.
Yeah, exactly. They're
stifling themselves is a better word. Sorry. Misspeaking. I don't want to offend.
Because when you come off like a dickhead,
with a word,
you know, intentionally getting in the way of somebody else's ability to have their own shine or success, like that's not just impacting that one person. That's everybody else in the scene is seeing that. Yeah. Like, the scene talks. You know, if somebody does something fucked up, like, you know, Shrekky Bear over here, you're tied into, like, you know, the punk rock scene and all that shit. When one fucking band member does something really fucking stupid, like, everybody knows about it.
Everybody knows, and then you're out.
Yeah, everybody talks and shit. So, like, you got to be on your P's and Q's. You got to, you know, in some sense, act in a professional manner.
BPC.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking to me about right now.
I'm just saying that's basically a lot of it. Be nice to people.
Yeah.
If you're a dick, you don't like
it. Well, I mean, it's not like whether or not it's, you know, being nice all the time isn't, you know, always a go.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes you do have to have it in you to, like, tell somebody to fuck themselves or, like, say no to a project or something like that if it just don't jive. But, like, you know, be professional. You know, don't fucking kick the next guy down just because. It don't help you none. And then if you're going around making yourself look like...
And I know I might have a history of a reputation of people thinking that I'm kicking another person. You know, I'll air that out because, you know, I'm not feeling attacked, but I know that other people that may... My haters listening to us, you know, might be like, oh, wow, his own co-host doesn't even know the kettle's sitting right next to him. Well, I'm going to call myself on it. Yeah, I've done it too. But they've stabbed me in the back so many times behind the scenes because I was professional and I didn't air that shit.
And just to clarify, the co-host is very well aware of the shit that's gone down over the years and who the people have been shitty and the people who
And he wouldn't be here if he didn't know that I don't got a reason to fucking lie.
Right. I mean, still, I'm the type of person that, like, if I see you fucking up, I'll be the first person to let you know that you're fucked up. You know, I won't sugarcoat a fucking thing.
You know, he used to randomly hit me up when I was like going through the fucking, I want to throw the towel, and he'll be like, hey, I haven't seen you doing much lately, buddy. And I'm like, fuck.
Yep.
If Muse notices, then damn, I gotta pick the mic up, time to pick the pen back up, get back to work, fat boy.
And that's kind of like, because like I kind of dipped out of the music scene like myself, like way back. Like, I don't know, I guess I just either didn't have the time or the drive for it, being like a big old fucking idiot in my early 20s. But like, I don't like to let people that are clearly into it and like have that like investment in it be it emotional or whatever. I don't like to see that go to waste. Yeah. You know, I'll be the first person to like try to uplift somebody too. Like if I see somebody that's like trying and trying, even if they're not getting it, like I'll at least sit down and talk to them or give them an earful of some shit before I just let them throw in the towel.
Right.
Just like that. Like all those times that you were like, man, fuck this. Like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And then I'll just kind of vaguely come in just like that. Like, yo, doc, I ain't seen shit in a while. What's going on?
Yeah.
When's the next show? And the, whatever excuse you're going to give me is going to be what it is. But you know I'm about to give you at least a little bit of shit.
Yeah.
I'm about to get some lip back. Yeah.
You know, and.
And those times it wasn't even really about like really throwing in the towel. It was just mentally exhausted because you don't know where the next break is. And every time, dude, every time, without fail, the next big holy fuck make my career look like it just hit the next level happened the next day when I picked the pen up.
Yep.
The next pen, then the next email came, the next text came from someone that I was just like, how the fuck did this person get my contact number in the first place? And I think I'm being punked.
And I mean, that's how it is sometimes, man. Like, sometimes you get in your own way without even fucking realizing it. And, you know, not making that extra push because...
Back to the pickaxe meme.
Yeah.
It's literally just one more fucking swing every time. And that's why I've grinded as long as I have. Literally, it's just every other pickaxe. Ooh, another diamond. Now, the diamond doesn't pay off in a financial thing, but it pays off for me emotionally to know, hey, I've helped a bunch of fucking people, which is really the underlining thing. Like, music is supposed to be, hey, I'm putting my life and what I go through on a record and knowing that I've helped other people and shit. And then just, you know, nowadays in the last 8 years, I got fucking, you know, 9-year-olds painting their faces me for Halloween. That's right. Cool as shit. Hell, some of them don't even do it on Halloween. They just randomly like, hey, I got a hold of mom's makeup and now she's pissed. Don't do that, kids. Ask. That makeup is fucking expensive. Just ask her for some craft face paint. They sell it all year round at Michael's.
Or see if you can buy Westmoreland's overstock that he don't use no more.
Just but go to a craft store, local craft store.
Just think about all those times where, like, you contemplated, like, this is the last thing I'm going to do and I'm going to walk away from it.
Right.
And how many times you might.
Oh, I've been telling myself, I just want to get one last record out, and then no last record ever came out. They all kept getting erased and deleted because God was like, no, we're not going to let you do that. This isn't going to be your coup de grace. You're going to lose it all. You're not even getting a lyric or a song back because you put it all in a phone and it got smashed, or you turned it on one day and it factory reset out of fucking nowhere. Like, did some shit, like some triangle popped up on my phone and started spinning until it made like a gyroscope. I was just like, they're on to me. I researched too much conspiracy shit on my YouTube and now I'm fucked. And
no.
Literally. Fucked.
Now think about it like this.
Everything wiped.
Like every one of those times where you had those like pretty big setbacks, if you would have just said, fuck it, I'm throwing in the towel.
Yeah.
Like granted, it took whatever amount of time that it did. But like if you had not said like, fuck it, I'm just going to keep going, we wouldn't be like on the precipice of making like heavy duty moves right now.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, like this whole project that we're doing right now was originally your brainchild and you just kind of hit me up like, yo, dog. Fucking, I need to talk to you about a secret project. Let's fucking sit down at some point.
I need a co-host, and everyone gets interviewed by someone that they don't know. Let's flip it on the head and have someone that supported me for a decade plus come and interview me because you're going to ask questions no one else did.
Yeah.
That was the original premise of this show. It has since molded into just, we talk to you baby birds every week about whatever the fuck we feel like.
Yeah. You know, it started off
mostly music related. Sometimes it goes into life inspirational stuff and pick up that pickaxe, which is seems to be the motto and the theme to drive home of this episode this week.
And I mean, I even had a small segment of like half-assed, like being a liquid death salesman unintentionally.
Right.
But I mean,
still look good. It's like a tasty beverage.
I enjoyed it. I feel hydrated, and it murdered my thirst.
Right?
It was as advertised.
Kudos to whoever wrote the thing on the side of the can. That was also
amazing. Yeah, the story on the side of the can, that was pure gold. We won't read it off. We'll let people find that shit off on their own, but it was great.
That's your adventure for the day. It's a nice Saturday here in Ohio. You got adventures to do. I'm going to be logging out here and going action figure hunting.
if the ride permits, because I'm itching. And I know where there's a honey hole that I need to go hit up before somebody else does with that stimmy money. For real, because get back to flipping these action figures and make back some of this cost of fucking investing in the podcast.
Hot damn! See, I'm too greedy with my collection. I have zero intention of selling them. I just want them. They're mine.
Well, I know that if I start, you know, trying to put this collection back, dude, there's no way. My demolition that was stolen from me from my original Mattel Elite collection is literally $300. My favorite tag team is $300 fucking dollars for something I bought for $20 off the shelf 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And I literally want to murder the people that stole that shit from me at my other house and the people involved.
Well,
but metaphorically, like we said earlier, I can't go back to the old Killer King. Oh my God, who I want to, I can't. Too many cameras. No one fucking is alone nowadays. You can't just find someone randomly kicking it alone in the alley like back in the 90s.
Yeah.
That don't happen no more.
It's lazy.
Yeah. So I think we finally wrapped up
our motivational speech.
our hour and a half motivational speech about music and just life in general and upgrading the podcast. It was a circle of life.
And
I feel this episode might move the soul.
Might move the soul.
Or at least, you know, move some people to, you know, pick back up their hobbies and shit, whatever it may be, and fucking keep it cracking, like, whatever the fuck it is.
I mean, especially because, like, we talk a lot about, like, music all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And especially while we're on the air and shit and, like, our nerdy fucking collections and all that other shit, but, like, I mean, art is art. Like, there's a lot of people that'll, like, put down woodworking because they just don't have the heart for it anymore. Fucking pick that goddamn whittle back up.
Right.
You know? If it makes you happy.
Pick that wood back up. You fucking chisel away.
Whatever you do. You
chip away at it. Just like life and the motto of this.
Yeah.
It's literally just chipping away.
Chip. Our oldest kid, she's a painter. I mean, if ever she gets in a rut, like, I'm the first person to tell her, like, you know, just try again. You know, but just keep it going. And every time that she does, she gets a little bit better. She gets more into, like, what she's doing and shit. And, I mean, I feel like that's what people need nowadays. Because, like, the pandemic, I mean, it's been depressing for everybody. And I personally know a lot of people that have, you know, put down whatever their craft is.
Right.
You know, just because of, like, being overwhelmed by the emotion of the whole fucking thing.
Or they're like, well, we can't tour. We can't make a lot of money off it. Like, that's not the point. Like, you sit, you make music because A, you need to for yourself, and B, you know, along the way, it's going to fucking help somebody else.
Yeah.
So some people just lost the way in that, in some aspects, you know. I was greedy and still trying to do shows, but not for the money thing, just because I miss my people. I want to go see my strangers that are now family that have came out to support me. That's all that was.
Yeah.
Especially all the shows at Carl's Tavern that I kept getting booked on, that kept getting canceled because of COVID, that it was just out of people's hands. No one's fault, but the Cove. Cove, yeah. To the 19.
And even in myself, like, in the amount of time that, like, we started doing this, I've even found the motivation myself to, like, gently get back in the plane. Just gently,
yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go try and go balls out and disappoint myself because I'm not as good as I was when I was playing consistently, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, just that gentle push to get back into it.
Yeah, I had to knock off the mic rust myself, and that's why I was just like, fuck it, dude. Like, I've been trying to knock off the mic rust and stuff and get into studios and stuff to the point where I'm juggling multiple studios and nothing's really coming to fruition because we're juggling so many projects trying to – once one drops, to be like, boom, I got two more songs of the next one now. And boom, I got two more here. Then boom. But in doing all this ADHD shit that I've been doing, I should have just been spending all that money here instead of branching out to multiple studios and putting money in their pocket. I should have invested in me back here, which is then what I did. No offense to any of those people. I still love you motherfuckers. I still work with these motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, you know, in this day and age,
and I will continue to even after I have everything put up.
It's not that we don't want to fuck with y'all. It's that we want to get our own shit going, too.
No, it's just the simple fact I need to knock off the mic rust and have a setup where I can freestyle and keep it and, you know, learn a new way to write and craft my shit because, you know.
Yeah,
I've learned some stuff, you know, personally that I'm not going to leak on the podcast because I paid a lot of money for it. So I'm not going to give that information away. Straight up.
There's a lot of things.
I was too nice for too long. Nice, like I said, those nice doors of Cartman Land are closed. Ah! God damn it. Everyone that we fuck with, they have their, they know Killer King fucks with me past. They know who they are.
Yeah.
But not saying no new friends. I'm just trying to say, you know, be your own team first.
Right.
Let me see that you, know, that you work and you ain't just here to.
That's kind of part of the process, though. When
copy over a motherfucker's shoulder for my test answers, because we don't play that shit no more.
Yeah.
We don't share test answers.
That's kind of the process, though, when it comes to fucking, like, making sure that you have a well-assembled team, like what is going on now between, yeah, like, you and the guys shooting the videos and, like, the record labels, you know, doing their own projects and everything, and then what we got going on, yeah, here is that, you know, at the end of the day, every individual person still has to have their own shit together to some, exactly, degree to be able to be a functioning part of the machine.
And that's why, you know, the people that I do fuck with are like that, and they do have their own record labels and their own stuff. They're just blessing Killer King with being the other person that's not on their record label per se, but I'm strongly affiliated with, and letting me go do my stuff with
quid pro quo
with the Teddy Louds and the SS Fanes and Skills and shit and my homeboys from back in the day, you know, because, mm-hmm, me and Skills go way motherfucking back.
Yeah.
If I told you stories about, I could tell you stories about what me and Skills
used to do. Don't do it. We need about 7
for every hours reason, because A, he'd be mad at me, be like, "Killer, why you dry snitching on us?" I hear it right now. I hear him.
But yeah, I mean,
dude, can't even say what he would say on the air because you don't know our relationship like that.
Yeah, but in, I mean, these day and ages, even him, like, just seeing how much he's grown and developed in, like, the amount of time that it's been since the three of us used to kick it hard way back in the day and shit, and then me and him didn't see each other for a really long
time. Out of that motherfucker, too, because, yeah, back when I knew him, he was recording in my basement studio that I had with the other half of the Headhunters, Jay. That's how we met him when he was on Left to Right Records back in the day, when they had a massive fucking following here in Toledo, and they're selling out, mm-hmm, shows everywhere. Doing massive events and, yep, shit.
And nowadays you can see, like,
and now shoes on the other foot. He's got his own shit. Now it's come to him to record.
Yeah, he's a whole different animal nowadays, yep, man.
Exactly. Mad respect.
And that's the way it is, man. He's getting his own shit together and fucking, you know, he's uplifting his homies that had his back way back in the day and vice versa.
Right. Because, you know, other motto, just because you fall in life doesn't mean you got to stay there. You choose to stay there. Life gets better. You just got to get up and do the fucking work.
Yep.
It sucks. The world's not handed to you. The world don't owe you shit. You owe the world your contributions of art, whatever it may be. Or you just being you. That's art too. Because, you know, the music doesn't make itself. I got to go out and be myself and live my fucked up life and then turn it into something else, just like comedians do, just like painters do. They take their inward emotions and put it on canvas, et cetera, insert whatever metaphor for your life and your skill set you might need. But on that note, pick up that motherfucking pickaxe, swing one more motherfucking time,
maybe even two,
sometimes even three. But every time you swing that bitch, swing for the fences. Underground click, bitch. Click shit!
Click shit.
Click shit.
Click shit.
Click it. Click shit. Click the button now. Click shit out.